Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 588 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, joined this week once again by Chad Smart. Chad, how are things going this week for you?
It's been a week, and I thought I was over the sickness, but apparently the sickness was not over me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do my best to not have a coughing fit during this episode, and if I do, I will try to hit the mute button, but, you know, that might make the show a little bit more entertaining when I'm sitting here coughing up a lung, and hopefully not. But, other than that, it's going all right. Again, it's way too cold for Los Angeles. You know, we were down to 50 degrees, which is, again, fire starting temperatures.
Oh, poor baby. Poor baby. It is in the 30s today here in Southern Illinois. So I have zero sympathy for 50 degrees. It is still winter. I know y'all don't experience winter the way we experience it here. So
we do not. This is hopefully the last of the cold spell. But I think I told you last year, my apartment complex, I had gas heaters, and they replaced them with eco-friendly electrical heaters. And I've had both of them on full blast for the last 2 weeks. And it is, if I move more than 2 inches away from the heater, you get no heat. Oh. And when they put them in, I was like, I don't think these are working. And I told my property manager, and they sent someone out to look at them. And the guy took one look and went, yeah, these are crap. He's like, get a space heater. Yeah. So, environmental.
So this week we are, and before we dig into our topic this week, we are going to be talking about the WWE Hall of Fame specifically, because it is that time of year where everyone starts speculating and talking and then grimacing and moaning and groaning about who is going in or who has already been inducted. But before we get there, Chad, you had mentioned you had a couple of things to have as talking points this week. So what you got for us?
Yeah, well, let's start. You know, we've been doing games the last couple months here at the beginning of the show. So I've got another blind ranking for you. Okay. As we are recording this, we are, I think, in the first week of Lent. I don't think either of us actually celebrates the Lent season in the way of actually giving anything up, but I have five items that I'm going to ask you to give up for Lent. Okay. And I will let you determine if you want to do it 1 to 5 easiest things to give up or 1 to 5 hardest things to give up for Lent.
I'll go 1 to 5, the hardest being number one, and then the easiest being number five.
All right. And my number five, I thought I had another one, but my number five is kind of, that I give you is kind of be kind of repetitive of something else unless what I originally had comes to me. So we will start off, because this is a wrestling podcast. How easy would it be for you to give up watching wrestling for 40 days? And that includes anything on YouTube or reels sent to you.
And I said number one is hardest and number five is easiest, right?
I think so.
I think that's what I said. I'm going to go, because I have a feeling I know some of the other things you're going to have to do this. So I'm going to go number two for the rest.
All right. The number two one then would be beer?
I do so much in like December with the advent calendar. I drink every day, up till Christmas.
Yeah.
So by the time this time of year rolls around, I could count on one hand. Well, after last night, it'd be two hands. But I don't drink a lot during that first quarter of the year, which is kind of weird. But anyway, I would say number four for the
Four.
beer.
Okay.
Just for 40
So,
days. We're just talking 40
yeah,
days.
for 40 days. Yeah,
Yeah.
sweets.
Oh. I think I know what you're
Three.
going. For sweets, I'll go three,
Okay.
even though that is a big weakness.
All right. Social media.
Oh, damn it. Okay, number one, it is my a big part of my job, so obviously for that I wouldn't be able to, but even my own personal,
Yeah.
yeah, it'd be number one.
That's what I figured. And then, like I said, I couldn't remember what the last one that I had was, so I'll just kind of repeat myself. You can still use social media, but you can't send me the shut up GIF on Twitter.
Hey, that'd be number five. That'd be number five.
Right.
But
I'm sure you can find something else to.
I thought you were going to throw burgers in there. That's why, because I'm like,
Oh.
okay, I do the burger reviews every week
Yeah.
now. So the beer stuff I do kind of sporadically. But yeah, I was more worried about, I didn't even think about social media. So yeah,
I
I
figured
am
that'd be your first.
self-admittedly addicted to it. So I would not be able to give that up. And that would be, 40 days without doing the podcast, which probably listeners and viewers would. Yeah,
You could have guests, you could bring JBL in while you're gone.
there you go. I might do that. Yeah, I might have to do that.
Right. Yeah, the second piece that I was going to mention to you is, and this is not comparing apples to apples. I know this is like comparing apples to cherries, maybe, or pretzels, depending on which your favorite Pac-Man level. But reading some stories this week, and I looked it up. The cheapest ticket for WrestleMania right now on night one to set in the front row of the upper deck, the highest deck at the Allegiant Stadium,
Yeah.
is $25 less than what I paid to sit sixth row on the floor at Revolution coming up. And that's not the highest price ticket for Revolution. Obviously, the seats in front of me are more, but just the fact that there's that level of
Disparity.
discrepancy, yeah, it just like, and then I don't know if you saw the average ticket prices over the last 5 years for
Yeah,
WrestleMania.
that you sent me my
Okay.
yeah.
But yeah, so that's just me. Like, again, I know we've talked about it before, and everybody on social media has talked about the outrageous price. And apparently, last week when they put a 25% discount on tickets for WrestleMania, they did not move as many tickets as they expected to. So I guess obviously we're still 2 months away. They've only announced one match. Do you think, or let me rephrase, what would be the one match that you think they could make to spike interest in ticket sales?
Well, I think that they will have to probably break in case of emergency glass, and glass being the operative word here, getting some kind of involvement from Stone Cold Steve Austin, whether it's a match or having him as part of the show, and or Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I think here are several factors that I think are contributing to this. One, you're repeating Las Vegas, where tourism is reportedly already down for Vegas anyway. And that's, I think, part of the reason why they went back to Vegas, because they being TKO, WWE, thought maybe they could help with the turning the tourism decline around.
Yeah.
Two, I think that the ticket prices obviously aren't helping anything. Even though let's look at the half glass full for a second. They have sold 35-ish
I've done.
thousand tickets for both nights. I mean, that's a victory, but again, it's that perception of they haven't sold out. Whereas back in the day, they announced ticket sales and we were rushing, scrambling to get tickets. because they typically sold, or at least the good seats sold out pretty quick. I think that they are riding the wave of, even though 2025 creatively was pretty crappy, I think, for WWE, they had John Cena. And it was that last chance to see John Cena in your town. And so I think that helped significantly. And then consumer confidence, I think, is down because at Elimination Chamber a year ago, we saw The Rock and what was seemingly going to lead up to a story with The Rock and John Cena and Cody Rhodes. And then The Rock, we haven't seen The Rock on WWE TV since then. So I think consumer confidence is down. So I think all of those factors together, and then maybe some stagnated creative, and we are bringing back the part-timers, or which typically happens every year at WrestleMania, so that shouldn't be anything new. But I also think they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot with, and I know nothing about economics or business, so I'm just speaking from a fan's perspective. But last year they had all these big watch parties in and around Vegas, and now they've issued some sort of, I think, blackout for, some of those areas where Vegas tourism was expecting, okay, well, if people can't afford a ticket to go to Mania, they can come here at our casino, at our facility, and watch. And now they're not allowing that. So I think that's a big negative too. So I just think those are some of the factors going into it. And I don't see anything with current WWE talent that is going to necessarily make people say, oh, I want to buy tickets. I think the lack of match announcements has also hurt because, back in 86, 87, 88, by this time, we were establishing the stories. We knew we were going to get Hogan Andre. We knew we were going to get Hogan Bundy. We knew those cards were building up, and we were seeing things. And right now, there's still a lot of ambiguity. I've heard rumors of Brock versus Gunther, Brock versus LA Knight. I think after next week, obviously, or later this week with Elimination Chamber, we'll have a better path, and by Monday Night Raw and SmackDown the first week of March, I think we'll definitely have a clearer path to Mania. But I think it's just been kind of lackluster, and Cena's not being around is part of that. But then, and fans complain about these talents like Austin and Rock, bringing back the part-timers. But as soon as they bring them back, I think you'll see an increase in ticket sales, or at
Steps
least interest in WrestleMania.
up. I find it interesting. I think if I remember correctly from the WrestleMania 3 documentary, is that that wasn't announced until like 12 weeks out that they were even doing WrestleMania 3, where it was going to be, tickets on sale. And now we get tickets, 8, 9 months in advance. We know a year in advance, so most of the time, where it's going to be until they decide to change it.
Well, look at, oh, and I think that, I don't know if I mentioned that or not too, but yeah, obviously the double location, but then kind of yanking it away from New Orleans. People, when we went to WrestleMania, I always kind of viewed that as a mini vacation as well because I was going somewhere where I hadn't been before. So repeat customers are going to want to go back to Vegas a
I guess.
year later. So
And
that's
that's
kind
been
of
my thing with the last decade of Mania, being back in Vegas, Orlando, MetLife. It's these places that they've already done WrestleMania, and we've gone to WrestleMania there, so I don't feel the need to go back into those places. And same way with Vegas, and I know Vegas is very expensive right now, just in general. And yeah, I think tourism is down for various reasons. So I think that's part of it too, is you're not getting the international audience that you would normally get. But yeah, and I think Vegas is just especially after seeing the videos from last year, even though the football stadium is just a few blocks from the strip, seeing 20, 30,000 people trying to get back onto the strip, and there isn't the spacing, I guess, on the walkways for that many people at one time. So I don't know if that had an effect too.
The other factor too that I forgot about is it's now, and it has been for years now, but it's a two-night event. So you're talking increased ticket prices, not for just one night, but two nights now. Because I think, and I'd be interested to know how many people who go to WrestleMania go both nights. I would imagine it's a pretty high number, but that's the other part of that is I think the first year they did it, obviously, it was during COVID, and they were trying to manage the number of superstars in the building at the same time or whatever the restrictions were at that time. And then I think it became like, well, this is a money-making venture now. And they didn't do the Rumble 2 nights this year, but did they do
No.
SummerSlam 2 nights last year?
SummerSlam is two nights now.
Okay. So at least we're getting some of those. I get it. It's a business. It's not Vince McMahon's WWE anymore. And say what you will about McMahon, I think that he was of the mind of it being a family experience. And I think as you know, you take away house shows now, and you raise the prices on PLEs and RAWs, because you don't see a bunch of kids in the crowd of a UFC event. So I wonder, is WWE going to eventually become that kind of higher, not higher class, but just a different audience? So.
Well, and then you mentioned the two nights. I think that's the factor too. Like you said, we don't have any matches other than Roman Punk. But the other thing is, even if you knew what matches were going to happen, you don't know what night until maybe 2, 3 weeks out, which matches are happening on which night. So if you want to see, if you're only going one night and you're going to say, you want to see LA Knight, do you wait until the matches are announced to figure out which day he's going to be on and that's the day you decide to go? I don't know.
Well, and it, we are in an era now, and I think we have been, excuse me, as I drop my figure for later. We're in an era now where, and have been for quite some time, where the brand sells more than the names on the marquee. Back in the day, I think obviously you needed that Hogan Andre match to be announced to drive those sales. But now I think people buy, because I can remember when we were going, I think tickets went on sale in like November, the year before, or 6 months out, say in November, 4 months out, whatever it is. And we would get tickets not knowing anything at that point, and you hadn't even done Survivor Series yet. So there are many, many variables in there that I think have all kind of compacted or compounded that have been negative with TKO, even though I know that it's a bit, again, I keep saying it's a business and they're doing
It's
what's
a
best for
work.
their stockholders, but and not keeping the fans in mind. And even though we crapped all over Vince McMahon back in the day of, he's out of touch, he doesn't know what the fans want, I think at the core he did. Good ticket prices, good matches, and that part of the promise he delivered on. We didn't always agree with the storylines and whatnot, but I feel like I would rather have crappy storylines and decent prices where people are going and attending, because it was a family affair back in the day. And I worry, but I feel like that generation that we grew up with of seeing kids and families and experiencing it's going to come far and fewer between, I think, just because of the ticket prices.
And we obviously are saying that TKO is partly to blame because treating it like a business. But I was looking at tickets for Megan Maroney. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's a popular country singer right now, just released a new album. And she's performing out here. Ticket prices are astronomical. And I was looking, both in Tulsa, because I'm trying to get to Tulsa this year to go to the Outsiders Museum. And I was also looking in St. Louis.
Wait, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall have a museum?
You don't know about it? It's awesome.
Awesome.
But the ticket prices for those two cities are also $300 minimum.
Wow.
And so, and I'm just like, granted, this last year for me financially has taken a hit with the entertainment industry. But I'm like, who has the money to pay these prices for, especially, in a normal year, I would say I would go to maybe seven, eight concerts throughout the year. And now it's like, I have the money to go to one, maybe two, if it's somebody I really want to see. And I just don't, it just boggles my mind that one, these ticket prices are as high as they are, and two, somebody's buying them.
Right.
And then it's like, it's the thing is, do you buy it and just put it on your credit card and say, I'll pay it off when I pay it off, or do you practice financial responsibility and not buy the ticket?
Yeah, and that's an interesting th way to look at it too, because I do think for some families or for some people, that WrestleMania trip is their one indulgence of the year. So they may budget or save or do whatever to make it there for that one experience and then call it a day. Listen, we're lucky, blessed, whatever phrase you want to use. We've been to 10 WrestleManias, and if I never go to another one, I'm okay with that. Now, if it comes to Nashville, like there's been speculation and rumor, once that new stadium is built, I would go because it's a within driving distance and whatever. But there are some folks that, will never have the opportunity to go to a wrestling. And then, I mean, I thought ticket prices were high back in the day. I make more money now than I did when we first, that was 1 years ago, which still blows my mind. I make 3 times as much now than I made back then, but ticket prices are probably 10 times higher than they were back at that time.
Yeah, I always joke. I said, I got to the point where I didn't have to sit in the nosebleeds for concerts. I could get decent seats. And then the concert promoter said, "No, you're not. We don't want you down here. Get back up to your seat, Bob Uecker." And yeah, I mean, because we were talking, a friend texted me the other day and said, "John Mellencamp's going out on doing it like a greatest hits tour." And he's like, "I've always wanted to see him. This would be perfect time." And I said, "Well, one, I would want to see the set list just to make sure, see what songs it is. Two, I want to hear some video of his tour to see how the voice is, And three, like his last tour, I know he got a lot of people critical of him because of how much he talked during the show. And I'm like, if I'm paying good money, I don't want to hear you talking for the majority of the show." And then I looked up ticket prices, and the cheapest ones that I would go for, because he's playing at the Hollywood Bowl, and I don't like sitting further than halfway back because then you just get people talking amongst themselves. But the cheapest ticket, that ticket halfway back, is $200, and everything above that is 400 to 1,000. And it's just like, I can't, I'm not paying half a month's rent to go see a 2-hour show.
No, that
So,
makes sense. Makes sense.
all right,
Well,
and that concludes yelling at clouds.
we want to hear from folks. What are your thoughts on this? The ticket pricing, what is keeping you from going to WrestleMania? Is it location? Next year, I am very interested to see next year how it looks, not only from a WrestleMania WWE perspective, but from all the other companies, because we talked about this a few weeks ago too. Will companies do something stateside to kind of correlate or go in? Because I don't see MLW or TNA or any of these other smaller promotions packing up and heading to Riyadh to do shows. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see. I don't know what they did, the last time WrestleMania was in Canada,
Canada.
which I think has been a few, several years, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. And maybe WWE will put out a cease and desist on watch parties for all of the world. You can only watch it in your home or in Riyadh.
Well, I think I told you last year I hosted, and it wasn't really even, I mean, it's turned out to be a pretty small event, but one of the local bars here held a WrestleMania watch party, and they ended up getting in trouble for streaming it. And I mean, if there were 20 people there, that would have been a lot. And I,
Yeah, I
you
was gonna say,
know,
how did they find out? Who narked on them?
I, that's the thing. I have no idea. I don't know. I have no clue. But I mean, they promoted it and advertised it. But I mean, it's a tiny little bar in Carbondale, which isn't much bigger than my living room. I mean, it was a small venue. And they only did night two, so it wasn't like that. It was Easter Sunday, but
Did they charge people to get in?
they did not. No, just had, beer on tap, and they didn't even have the kitchen open, so they weren't making money off food sales. So it's a weird thing, but yeah, I it stinks, and I guess that is part of the changing times and the changing landscape of, corporate America, if you will, and TKO coming in and taking over. But we were talking 20 years ago was our first WrestleMania, and a part of that experience was going to the WWE, which I think of the 10 WrestleManias we've been to, we've been to 9 Hall of Fame ceremonies. I want to know, we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame this year and then kind of who we think. I think we do this every year as well, but what are your impressions or thoughts on the Hall of Fame? I know some people think, some people say it's not that serious, and then others are, once I think, especially the wrestlers, once they find out they're going in, then it's this big honor. I still look at it as, being a badge of honor. I like the ceremony. I like the event. It's obviously changed and evolved through the years. And I think that first year we went, we saw some fans really being assholes with the cat calls and the chants, the attire that they wore. Oh, look at that. A scene change. I love it.
Hey.
Look at you being all fancy. I just have the Hall of Famers behind me.
I'm just
Yeah.
hopefully that's reading correctly in your view and not because it's backwards in mine.
No, it looks right. Yeah.
Okay.
It says EMA. No.
Says haul me.
But yeah. What are your thoughts on the Hall of Fame? Does it still, 1993 it starts. And I wonder too, and I'm throwing several questions at you here. Andre the Giant died in January of 1993, and a few months later they announced the Hall of Fame, and he was the first and only inductee. There was no, from what I remember, there was no ceremony or event like we see today. Had Andre the Giant not died, do you think we would have had a Hall of Fame? Obviously not that year, but would we have eventually evolved to a Hall of Fame concept? I think we would have gotten there eventually, but who would it, w that first class been? Would it have been Andre alone? Certainly deserving of it for sure, but what are your overall impressions of that?
I mean, yeah, I think Andre dying probably did play a part. And then even, the first couple of years after that, the people that went in weren't, I say this, and it's going to sound
Respectful.
condescending. And I say that, it's, but those first classes were not, I don't think people that would sell tickets
Right.
to fans. They were legit people who whose careers were over, I think, mainly before we even started watching. I mean,
Right.
we've been
Yeah.
watching for, 70 years. I think it became once, because I want to say WrestleMania 20 was the first
2000.
public,
Yeah.
20 and 21 was the one with Hogan, with the WrestleMania 1 class. And I think, it became a thing where they're like, hey, we can sell, we can make money off of this. So let's do it. My issue, as you pointed out, is I don't understand. I guess I kind of do, but I don't, the fans that don't understand, it's not a wrestling show. And so the disrespect, the cat calling, the yelling, the showing up in sweatpants. It's, to me, the Hall of Fame is a more serious experience. It, and it's there to honor the people going in, and it should be treated as such. And I think that's one of the problems with the last few years is when they would hold it after SmackDown because of moving WrestleMania to two nights. It took away the Saturday night time slot for Mania, so they put it after. So when you have a crowd that's just sat through 2, 3 hours of a wrestling show, of course they're going to act like the Hall of Fame is still part of that show.
Well, and I think it also is kind of disrespectful to those going in because you've got fatigue, especially now SmackDown's moving or has moved to 3 hours. So you're going to do a 3 hour plus wrestling show before the Hall of, I think, because I think last year it was like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. before it ended.
Yeah, because they moved it to a different location
Yeah.
after Smack. So it was like an hour after SmackDown ended, which granted, on the West Coast, it's not as bad, but it was still, it would have been 11 o'clock East Coast time when it started. So who's going to stay up and watch? You know.
And we typically have seen, you know, through the years, especially that 2004, you know, because 93, and then there were some subsequent years where it was, you know, I think one year they did it, 96, I think it happened at Survivor Series or yeah. Survivor Series week. And then it kind of went away for a bit. And then in 2004 was the big production. There were 11 inductees that year. That's the year that they decided to do the celebrity wing with Rose going in. And we saw, you know, a lot of great men go in that year. 11, I think, is probably the biggest class that we've seen. But through the subsequent years, you know, there's a lot of talent going in each year. Do you think WWE should have adopted the TNA concept of one or two inductees per year? Or is there room for, because at some point it almost feels like a participation trophy. I don't want to necessarily crap on some of the people who have been inducted. We all know there are several talents in there that probably it's like, okay, because WWE never, you know, like with the Hall of Fame in Iowa, there are guidelines or standards or whatever. And with WWE, I feel like it's maybe sometimes a committee of one deciding, or at least back in the day, it was that committee of one deciding who's going in and who's not going in. So with there not being any structure or rules to it, or I didn't say rules, but you know what I'm saying? It is kind of a hodgepodge or free for all, if you will, of anyone kind of getting in. And so sometimes I do kind of wish there was a little more of a, but you know, you think somebody may belong in there that I think, no, they don't belong in there. So again, with everything in wrestling, it is very subjective as well.
Yeah, Iron Mike Sharp should have been in years ago. No, I think, you know, we've talked about it before. One, you want to limit the class because of how long, you know, and now they put time limits on how long they are supposed to talk for. But, you know, we, you know, the year Lita went for 30, 40 minutes. Mr. T went, I don't know how long. I think he's still talking about his mother. And I, you know, and again, it's one of those, it's a celebration of their career. So I don't like limiting them to be like, okay, you only get 5 minutes to talk or 10 minutes, you know, but I think as it's evolved, it should be a main eventer, female, tag team, celebrity, maybe a secondary, you know, someone like say Mr. Perfect, who never held the world title, but was a solid hand. And I think five people is more than enough. And it hits again all your bases. And because there is no, you know, I think WWE also needs that star power to sell tickets, as we were discussing with WrestleMania earlier. So I think they kind of blew through the stars that were that we had in this time. And you know, we've always joked, like not joked, but talked about how you don't want to wait too long because some of these guys, you know, like Vader, you know, Vader should have gone in before he passed, but no one expected him to pass, you know, when he did. But guys like Rey Mysterio, Edge, Kurt Angle, you know, Ric Flair going in right after, you know, the next year after his retirement match. Actually, no, he went in the night before.
He went in the night before,
Yeah, I think those are, you know, that's where I've said I think they should have like the baseball and football where you have to be retired for 5 years before you go in. Or something. But yeah, and I think it's just, you know, now we're seeing where they've run out of star power. And so that's when you get multiple inductions, you know, or you get now the match Hall of Fame, you know, the Austin Brett thing, where it's like, well, now we can bring guys back. And put them in again. So, well, I mean, because, and I'm sure this is on your list, but outside of Batista right now, who was supposed to go in a few years ago, and things, what top level star can you sell the Hall of Fame on right now?
Right. Who isn't, other than Cena, But then that violates your 5-year rule. But they've never adhered to that, obviously. I mean,
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio, and I've got several questions to kind of go off of that. But Paul Heyman, Rey Mysterio are two very specific examples that I can think of who were active at the time of their induction and are still active today and have been in for the hall into the Hall of Fame for a couple of years now. So
Yeah.
I think I know your answer to this. You think that there should be a little bit of a waiting period after, because then you have guys like Edge or Nikki and Brie Bella who retired, then got inducted, and now have become reactivated.
Activated.
So I don't disagree with you on
Yeah.
the time thing, but I don't know that I think 5 years, because
Yeah.
a lot can happen in 5 years
Right.
as far as then get into the posthumous inductions, and I want to talk
Yeah.
more about that in a minute as well. But yeah, like you said, other than someone who's active kind of nearing the end, like Randy Orton, or we already have Edge, maybe Christian or someone along those lines. Yeah, there's
Yeah.
really not that big star power person, that main event level talent, I think, that would draw tickets. Excuse me, tickets today.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, part of that is due to the downtimes of the mid 2000s when, Triple H, Batista, Orton, and Cena were your top guys. And outside of that, there's still some stars, but there's nobody that, that's, I don't think Vladimir Kozlov is going to be going into the Hall of Fame, or I'm trying to think of other people from that time frame. Yoshitatsu, yeah. The Dicks, or no, the Dicks were in TNA, the Johnsons. What were
The
the were the were they the Dicks in WWE? The
Dicks
like
were WWE, the Johnson.
this, yeah. Yeah.
Chris Jericho was another name as you were talking
Oh
that
yeah.
think of that, but technically still active, even though we don't know where he's going to be active.
Yeah.
He in the box, who knows?
Right.
Which I think I'll wait and talk to you about this off air about one
Okay.
of the rumors I saw about the box. I don't know if it's believable or not, but
If it's not Gwyneth Paltrow's head, what are we even doing?
if it's not who?
Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Oh.
What are we even doing?
So obviously the big names, but then let's talk posthumously.
Okay.
Because Vader went in the year the Undertaker went in. And again, with the Undertaker, I feel like that could have been a year that they just did the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Especially with as long as he went with his speech. But
And
Vader,
being after SmackDown, yeah.
yeah, Vader went in that year as an inductee. His family came out and spoke. But then last year, we saw the legacy wing kind of quietly came in and they really just kind of announced, oh, yeah, hey, these deceased wrestlers are going in this year. And
Yeah.
then last year, I felt like in 2025, we got Kamala, Dory Funk Sr., and Ivan Koloff, who were all three. Dory Funk Sr., I never saw wrestle, but I knew who he was. But Ivan Koloff and Kamala were big parts of our childhood.
Yeah.
And they got the legacy treatment, but their families were invited and attended the Hall of Fame ceremony. Now they didn't get up and speak. But I don't remember them doing this in the past for wrestlers who have passed away. Now, Adrian Adonis and Sid, two big names who are not in the Hall of Fame, I would argue they would deserve a quote unquote proper induction into the Hall of Fame, especially Sid. His
Sid,
past is so
definitely.
recent. What are your thoughts, though? Does the legacy wing make sense? I think it makes sense, but I'm kind of back and forth with it because they're not consistent or they haven't been consistent. And
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see what they do this year if they do it because they, like I said, they haven't done it every year. It's kind of like the Warrior
Yeah.
Award. It's they start it and then they don't do it and then they do it. So what are your thoughts on posthumous inductions?
Unfortunately, I think there are a lot of guys that will have to go in that way. And I think it's an honor for them to be inducted and mentioned. Again, I think a lot of the legacies that have gone in recently are guys that aren't necessarily names to today's audience. So, kind of brushing, being like, oh yeah, and these guys. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, you're not going to waste a lot of time even trying to educate the fans on who these guys were, but you put them in. As far as the family speaking, I'm torn because on one hand, I'm not a fan of it because, again, you're putting the show on in front of wrestling fans, and I'm going to sound like I just critique wrestling fans the entire time.
Right. No, I get it.
You know, but the wrestling fans don't know the families. They don't, and I don't think they maybe care to hear the family talk,
yeah.
You know? And so, and the families are not people who most of the time are not people that are in the spotlight in any sense. So
yeah.
Getting up and speaking is not their forte. Will Forte should, by the way, go in just for the MacGruber film. But it's also like, I think it depends on how much that family member had knowledge of the wrestler's career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if let's say, you know, if it's a child of somebody who didn't get to see the majority of the career, you know, wasn't around.
Yeah.
Only saw, you know, do they really, I mean, they can tell you about what the person was, but you don't get the anecdotes that you
yeah.
are going to get from the wrestler. So in that regard, I mean, I think it's nice for the family, but as a fan, I think the even though I don't think you should put a time limit on how long people speak, these ceremonies go on way too long. And so when you're sitting there listening to someone that you don't know anything about, you know, as speaking as the family, you know, am I going to be interested in you talking for 20 minutes? Yeah, I guess it all depends on the person.
What do you think about the Warrior?
Well, let me ask real quick. Instead of the family, would it be better to have a wrestler who is somewhat associated with that person do the talking?
You know, I would have been fine. You know, the year we went, I think it might have been in Dallas. It might have been the last year we went. It was one of those towards the end that we went. Big Boss Man got inducted, which definitely deserving. I love the Big Boss Man. And Slick inducted him, and then his family came out and spoke. I would have been perfectly fine with Slick doing all of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not to disparage Ray Traylor's family or anything along those lines. But like you said, it, you know, kind of the same thing with Vader. You know, could Jim Cornette have come out? Or I don't even remember who inducted Vader that year. But
I don't remember who inducted. Yeah.
Jack, maybe Mick Foley. I would be fine with the inductor, because typically 9 times out of 10, the inductor is someone who had a significant impact or role in the inductee's career. So I think that makes sense to do it that way. Yeah.
All right. And as to your question about the Warrior Award.
So yeah, the Warrior Award, you know, we saw it come to light after Jim Helwig, the Ultimate Warrior, passed away, like literally days, almost hours after being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And during his speech, which we were there for, he mentioned the unsung heroes, behind the scenes people, in WWE. And I think that was kind of the intent. Now, I get it. Inducting the video editor or the seamstress, probably not going to draw names. But if you throw in a paralyzed football player or a breast cancer survivor who is also a celebrity, those might pique some interest outside of the business. They haven't been consistent, though, with the Warrior Award, I don't think, in the last few years at least. Is it overdone? Has it run its course? Will we see the Warrior Award again? What are your thoughts on it? I like honoring folks, the behind-the-scenes talent. You know, I think Jim Johnston, for example, someone who created the soundtrack of our childhood for wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I think that work deserves to be applauded and celebrated. But what do you think of the Warrior Award and what it has evolved into?
Well, I'm trying to think, have they done it since Dana Warrior was let go from the company?
I don't know. I don't know when she was let go. The last inductee I remember was the paralyzed football player. Don't know what year that was, and I don't know that they did it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they did it with Shad as well, and I don't know.
DJ Shad, yeah.
But then that's another one, too, where, okay, that was a WWE. In, I guess, defining Warrior Award, and kind of being that hero, definitely Chad would have deserved that accolade. But
I think what Warrior wanted, the intention that he tried to explain, is what they should do. But you know, when Vince was there running it, you know, again, I know people that work behind the scenes or worked behind the scenes around this time, and you know, they would even say, like, Vince doesn't want you to know who's running the show, you know, who's producing, who's doing anything, you know. And for the longest time, the referees didn't even have names, because that took away from the wrestlers. So I understand why they didn't do it the way Warrior wanted while Vince was there, but I think it is kind of disrespectful then to these people who are busting their ass weekly, 52 weeks a year, to, you know, when we went to WrestleMania 29 and got to tour the facilities, and the audio guy is there 2 days before WrestleMania working on, you know, the opening, and he'd been there for hours and was going to be there for like another day finalizing everything. Like, these things don't, you and I have, you know, the production background and editing, these things don't just take an hour to do. You know, it takes days, hours, weeks in some cases, or even months, depending on what you're planning and, you know, and developing. So I think, especially, you know, in the past week, WWE did lose one of their directors, you know, longtime director. And it was nice that I think they mentioned him on air. AEW mentioned him on their program. It would be nice to see that person get some type of acknowledgement on the grandest stage. And then as far as the people that have gotten the Warrior Award, I don't know, to me, it just, it seemed a little hokey and a little patronizing, because it would go with, you know, these, I don't know how, proper way to say it without sounding like a complete dick, but it's like these people who just had a hard time in life, let's say, and then it's like, okay, you're getting it because you suffered through this. You know, it's not necessarily like, I mean, like with Shad, you know, trying to save his son ultimately cost him his life. That's one type of thing, you know, one that you can say, like, yeah, you were trying, you know, you embodied the spirit of the Warrior. But was it Joan London? Was she the, you know, breast cancer survivor? Like, again, nothing against breast cancer survivors, but what makes you different than the thousands of other, you know? I mean, I keep forgetting about it until October rolls around, but then I'm like, oh yes, I'm reminded that breast cancer exists. So yeah, I'm not a fan of the Warrior Award the way it was done, to be honest.
Kerwin Silfies, by the way, is the director.
Couldn't remember the last name, so.
Yeah.
I think he inspired Kerwin White.
Yeah, I think he did, actually. I heard the name through the Something to Wrestle With podcast with Bruce Pritchard, and Eric Bischoff talked about him. Yeah. And I think even Tony Schiavone had spoke of him as well. So,
well, and then if they did honor, should Kevin Dunn be the first person to be inducted solely by himself for the entire Hall of Fame ceremony to get the WWE award? And they can just cut after every word, different camera angle.
Yes, that would be interesting. Celebrity wing, what do you think of that? We've talked about it before. I think we both agree it's incomplete without Cyndi Lauper there. I would also throw Dick Ebersol into that conversation. Does it need a celebrity wing? Because I don't think there was a celebrity induction last year, but maybe there was. It was less than memorable if there was, but it's gone a couple of years without doing one. Is it necessary?
Hold that thought. As I cough. I mean, I I don't mind the Hall of Fame. I agree with you that yes, it does need to. Cyndi Lauper needs to be in there, just because without her, again, we don't have WrestleMania. And I would like to see Alice Cooper in there, and I'm sure Bad Bunny will be in there at some point. Would be in there at some point. So I mean, again, I think it's you put the celebrity in, you get more pu publicity in TMZ, People Magazine, wherever gossip rags and news, Entertainment Tonight. So yeah, I have no problem with it. And I think for the most part, the celebrities understand their place. And so they get up there, and they're just like, hey, thanks. It was fun. Okay, I'm out of here. They're not going on the long-winded rant, speeches. So I just looked it up and no, there was no celebrity last year. It doesn't appear.
Well, for 2026, and we've known about this for months now, I feel like, gosh, 6 months probably it's been that they announced that Stephanie McMahon is going there. You know, we're not here to argue whether people are worthy or not. I think she is worthy, but I found it interesting that she was the first announcement. And a lot of times that first announcement is kind of the main event, if you will. Do you think Stephanie is going to be the main event inductee? And how do you feel if that is the case?
The cynic in me says yes, she will be the main event because she's a McMahon, Helmsley, Levesque. I mean, Vince never wanted to put himself in. And I don't know if Vince will ever go in now, anytime soon anyway, but putting McMahon in there just it doesn't, I don't want to say it doesn't feel right, but it doesn't feel needed. It's like it's their company. And yeah, I get it, when George Steinbrenner died or when this last year with the owner of the Chicago Bears, can't think what her first name was, but Halas died. The players wear the patches to symbolize to honor them and remember them. But I don't know if they're in. I'm sure they're probably maybe in the Baseball Hall of Fame and Football Hall of Fame. I don't know. I just don't think a McMahon needs to be in the Hall of Fame because it just seems too self-serving. That makes
You know,
sense.
when you say it like that, I don't disagree with you. And I almost also wonder,
And.
you know, if you delay the ceremony or delay the induction until, you know, and make that one a pop, you know, like Vince McMahon Sr. went in, obviously, and that was Vince's way of paying tribute to his dad. I get that. But when you're still kind of in charge of things and going in, it does feel a bit self-serving.
And that also, I mean, we don't know who else is going to go in. I haven't even heard rumors of who is on the short list this year. But it would seem like, I just feel like, do they not have anybody else that they could put in this year to be a top level star that they think Stephanie is?
Yeah, because you
That's why
got
we should have inducted the Bellas one at a time.
I mean, and then speaking in the McMahon world now that we're there, I kind of disagree with you. I think Vince will eventually go in, and I think,
I'd say he did. I just saying based on what we know going on right
well,
now,
but
well, how long will it take for people to acknowledge that?
it's interesting because one of the rumors, and this wasn't the one I was going to talk about, one of the rumors was that Vince is in that box. I don't think that's the case, but
Real quick, here's my thing. If it's any person to come out of that box, they should be dead because that box had no air holes. I don't know how much food they would have, and it should also just smell like shit and piss for 2 weeks, unless they're wearing Depends. Like, so that's where I'm like, it again, logic in an illogical situation, it should not be a person that comes out of that box.
Well,
unless it's Danhausen.
Well, and that, okay, well, you said it. So that's the one that, is that really a, is that a true, I mean, I know true rumor is a, is an oxymoron, but
yeah,
is that even possible?
I don't know. I mean, he was under AEW contract, but he hasn't been on TV in over a year. So I have no idea what their status is.
Well,
I also don't think he would be a,
no,
I mean, I could see him in WWE to take on that R-Truth role, but I can't see him being a major player. And yeah, he's not box worthy.
Well, we'll talk more about
he's no box. Abdullah.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk more about the box next week. But
yeah,
you know, this begs the question: then, what about Shane going in? What about Linda eventually going in? You know, because they were all obviously. Part of the behind the scenes, but they were also major characters, especially through that, you know, that era on the cusp of the Attitude Era and then into the, what did they call it? Ruthless Aggression Era. So I think eventually we'll see all McMahon's in, which again, I don't have a problem with, but I agree with you when you're the one making, and maybe truly Stephanie didn't know she was going to go in or Paul didn't know that he was going, but perception is reality, and I think that for a lot of fans, it was kind of like, you know. And not saying that Triple H did not deserve to be inducted, and I think obviously he was inducted for his wrestling as Triple H and not for his booker or COO status as Paul Levesque. But, you know, I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah. Now, and this brings me to my question for you is because we've seen Scott Hall inducted, and we've seen Razor Ramon inducted, I believe.
Yeah.
And Kevin Nash has gone in, and Diesel has gone in.
No, it's when he went in as when he went in solo, he went in as Kevin Nash, and then
he
was inducted as Kevin Nash in the NWO. So Kevin actually in there twice. Yeah.
Okay. Should characters be inducted?
See, that is a great question and a great debate because look at the Godfather. You know, the year that we were there for that, he went in as the Godfather, but he obviously was Papa Shango. He was, so it becomes, it becomes that weird, because if you're going to induct a celebrity, like you said earlier, MacGruber or Will Forte, you know, would he go in as Will Forte or would he go in as MacGruber? Because he was there as MacGruber, I think, when they did the little
skit. Yeah, I forgot that he was on Raw. I just know in the movie there are several wrestlers that have cameos.
So I think it's an interesting way to look at it,
because I mean, in the case of Razor Ramon, does Rick Bogner get at least a little mention as being Razor?
And then also, you know, I can't remember now, help me remember when we were there in New York, because we got the tail end of it, but was it Mick Foley who got inducted? I think
it was just Foley.
So then could we conceivably see Cactus Jack and Dude Love and Mankind all inducted at some
point? At least not for the next 3 years, I don't think.
Well, yeah, that's true. So yeah, that's a great question. And when you have those multiple wrestlers who played different characters and played themselves, and I think it's probably not that many. Like,
I don't think Steve Kern's going in.
Right. True.
Unless the Fabulous Ones went in, but even then, that's a
long
shot.
It's a great question, and I would rather see Doink the Clown inducted than Matt Bourne, for example. The Razor Ramon Scott Hall one is an interesting dynamic, because I thought when he went in, he would have gone in as Scott Hall, but he is inducted as, or was inducted as Razor Ramon. And I think Scott Hall, probably as Scott Hall, had a longer career, because in those early days, he was Scott Hall. And then on the end of his career, he was Scott Hall. So I think he's probably better known as Scott Hall than Razor Ramon. I don't know. That'd be an argument for another day, I guess. But Yeah, it's interesting to see who will be, and then people get all butthurt about China, for example. Well, she deserves to be inducted on her own. She's in as DX. She's still a
Yeah.
Hall of Fame inductee. You know what I mean? Like, her
Yeah.
name is in the book, if you will.
Yeah.
So I think people that get upset over, because then you argue, well, does Arn Anderson deserve to be solo inductee? He was TV champion a bunch of times. He was a
Right.
producer backstage for 20 plus years, had a lot of influence, influenced the spine buster and the promo style and this, that, and the other. So,
Yeah.
but he's in as a horseman. Now, Barry Windham is in as a horseman and as the US Express. Does he deserve a solo induction as well? So
The stalker should be there.
yeah, I think people get too caught up in the solo inductions versus, once you're in, X-Pac. He's in as X-Pac as part of DX, and he's also in as, or what was
Six.
the NWO? Six. He's in as the NWO as six, but he's not in as just the 1-2-3 Kid or as X-Pac as a solo. So I th that when that argument comes up, I always just kind of roll my eyes at it because I think once you're in, it doesn't matter if you're a tag team or a
Right.
solo. Or I guess now match of the match induction that they're doing apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you get inducted for a match, that means you probably should also be inducted.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are some people who have outstanding matches that don't have outstanding careers, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, as we wind down this week's episode, who are a couple, because you had mentioned kind of that main event tag team, maybe a manager or non-wrestler, a female, and celebrity. Who do you have anyone on the top of your head that should go? And knowing that Stephanie is apparently going to be this year's, whether you
Yeah.
call her the main event or the female, and I think eventually we will get to a day where the main event and the female are one and the same.
Same. Yeah, I didn't. You told me the topic last night, and I didn't think about it any.
Is there anyone glaringly omitted right now that you can
I'm
think
trying to
of?
think. I
You said
mean,
Lex Luger and Rick Rude, and then they eventually all got in. So is there
yeah.
anyone that really stands out to you that should be in?
I mean, the one would be Batista. Yeah, he should be there again because he was supposed to go in, I think, during COVID
Yeah.
and decided he didn't, he wanted to speak in front of a crowd. And then things just, for whatever reason, haven't worked out since then. The name that came off the top of my head just now was the Killer Bees. I don't know if they really are Hall of Fame worthy, but
How about Demolition or the Midnight Express? I mean, come on.
those are also good choices. Again, I don't know why the Killer Bees just popped in my head, but they did. I'm trying to think if there's any like IC champion level people that and again, I mean, now the Hall of Fame is like 25 years old. I can't even remember who all's in off the top of my head. So I don't even remember who got inducted in the years that we went. And I mean, the other day I thought Sting, I was watching a quiz online and I thought Sting was inducted when we were in New Orleans. But that was apparently Houston or Dallas. I
Dallas.
mean,
Well, I have a weird memory on that kind of thing. So I remember a lot of them, but what do you think about AEW, current AEW talent being inducted? Do you think you'll ever see that? Well, yeah,
no.
obviously in the early days of AEW, we saw it with Billy Gunn. And Billy Gunn is still getting a WWE figures. So is Jake the Snake. So those are interesting exceptions to the
No.
rule, but would a, and I know he's said constantly that he would never accept it, but Tony Schiavone, Daniel Bryan, Christian, Chris Jericho, who seemingly is still AEW, will
Yeah.
we see a talent like that, do you think, ever get inducted while they're still quote unquote actively involved with AEW? Because I know Bryan is not really wrestling.
Listen.
Paul White, the Big Show, I think he's someone that will
Yeah.
eventually go in, but has AEW hurt the chances, Dustin Rhodes, of these talents being inducted into the WWE while they're still active with that?
I would counter that with saying that it's a good thing that if they're still active in AEW, then they're not going in because then that puts in my kind of requirement of waiting and also spreading out talent and not just jamming everybody in 1 year. I don't see any time. I could say I could see Tony Khan being like, sure, if they want to induct somebody, as long as it isn't interfering with an AEW show. I would like to say that Tony Khan would be a wrestling fan big enough to say, go get your flowers. But I can't see WWE wanting to acknowledge AEW in any way. I think we have a better chance of a TNA star. Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth could go in this year, or Dana Brooke before we'd see Daniel Bryan or, I mean, Paul White. I don't even think he, half the time Tony Khan remembers he's working for AEW, so that could be there.
Do you
But yeah.
think, last question, do you think then, because we've seen TNA start a Hall of Fame many, many years ago, do you, WCW did it half-heartedly and then it eventually went away? And I don't think many fans even remember that. But do you think AEW would start a Hall of Fame? Because WWE's Hall of Fame is very unique in that it's not just WWE talent. Thunderbolt Patterson went in last year, the year before last, who, if you didn't watch, Mid-Atlantic and the old Crockett days, you wouldn't have known who Thunderbolt Patterson was. Do you see AEW developing and creating a Hall of Fame of its own? A lot of young talent there right now, but obviously
I would
guys like
say,
Sting and Edge could go in early on and be in a current WWE Hall of Fame.
we've talked about it before. I went to the first TNA Hall of Fame, which was their 10-year anniversary. And that's when Sting went in. And before the ceremony, I said I didn't understand why they were doing it. It didn't make sense to, because Sting was also still active. After sitting through the ceremony and hearing how much Sting being there helped the company succeed, I got it. I think for AEW, I would say they should wait at least 25 years before they start inducting people, just to have the history and to have people that would probably no longer be wrestling, like Sting. Although, if you want to wait another 20 years for Sting to go in, that might be a little too much. But I don't see them doing it anytime soon. So I would say in the next 5 years at least, no.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap up this week's episode?
No, I think I've covered it all. I just no, I got nothing. Although I was gonna say, I was talking with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, because the Sandman is having his retirement match during WrestleMania weekend. He is wrestling the Invisible Man. And so my friend was like, let me check my schedule, see if I can make it to Vegas. And I didn't expect him to say that. I doubt that he will make it, but if he does, I said, let me know and I will see if I can make it over as well. Don't expect to go to WrestleMania, but I might go to Vegas for the weekend and not watch WrestleMania anywhere because we can't. But I'm also curious to see what other shows will be happening. And
Yeah, I
when
don't feel like there's been a lot of buzz about anything related to that this year. It'll be
I don't
interesting
know.
to see how things pan out.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we want to know who should go in the Hall of Fame, in your opinion. For me, again, Demolition, Jim Cornette, Brother Love as a character. Those are the ones that kind of stand out to me. Victoria as a female talent.
Red DMC.
Run DMC. Again, I'm sticking with Cyndi Lauper, Dick Ebersol, because I think that really those two involvements changed the pop culture perception of pro wrestling as well. So, anyway, that's my thoughts for this week. We want to hear from you. Be sure to weigh in on our social media pages, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.